Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the second lesson that we have from Romans chapter 13 on the responsibilities of a Christian to the civil government. In this book of the system of salvation that's presented to us, Paul emphasizes that there are certain characteristics and traits that are to characterize the Christian. Having taken advantage of the great system that God provided for his salvation from sin, he is obligated to live a certain way. Chapter 12 was certainly a chapter that pointed out many responsibilities of the Christian, and chapter 13 does the same thing, specifically in the beginning. Here's his duty and responsibility to civil government. We learn from the first two verses of Romans 13 that to resist the power of the civil government is actually to resist a law of God. As stated, it is the ordinance of God that we obey the civil government. To resist will mean trouble for us, not only from duly ordained civil authorities, but from God as well. Violating civil law, friend, is more than just violating civil law, as we have mentioned aforetime. It is also violating a divine law that says we are to obey civil law, and we have noted the exception, and that is when the civil law demands of us, to violate the law of God. Now, the fact that God has ordained government, this is the source from which the Christian gains his determination to be a law-abiding citizen. God has said that he is to be just such a citizen. It's unfortunate that so many today seem like to have no concept whatsoever of their responsibility to the existence of civil government. But in verse 3 and 4, Paul says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Here we learn God's idea of the purpose of civil government. Civil powers are not designed to inflict harm on the good, but to control and punish the evil. It is the work of civil government, the proper function of civil government, to maintain protection and order in society. And when we obey the law, we have no need to fear the civil power if the civil power is doing what God wants the government to do. Indeed, if those who are in power are of the nature that they should be, we will receive praise for being a proper citizen, one who obeys the law. Of course, at times there are men that abuse civil power, and they do inflict harm on the good. But when men do this, they're not using the power that God has ordained. They are abusing the power granted to civil government. The system that calls for civil government is not to be abolished simply because some will and do misuse that system and power at times. Sometimes those of civil government act in a way that's contrary to the divine purpose and their function. And some take it upon themselves, therefore, to be vigilantes. They take it upon themselves to try to destroy the police or destroy those who are supposed to enforce the civil law. Or they want to do away with civil government altogether. Well, when civil government does not behave itself in a proper fashion, then it needs to be corrected. But the Christian does not riot. The Christian does not destroy. The Christian does not loot. The Christian does not tear up cities or burn buildings and try to get the things in proper order. The Christian is a law-abiding citizen. But let's notice something. There is a philosophy that says that one is justified in revolting against civil government just because they may not like it. Or the philosophy that says we shall overturn all civil authority because some abuse it. Well, that's not according to God's will. There is nothing, to my knowledge, in the will of God that prevents the citizenry of a nation from correcting the abuses that may arise in civil power. But when there are lawful ways and means of doing so, then a lawful course of action should be followed. If abuses exist, and there is simply no way for one to address himself to the correction of such offenses, this raises another set of questions altogether as to what is the will of God. But we're not discussing here the role of government per se. We are discussing the role of the Christian and his responsibility toward civil government. But we must keep in mind that God never designed that civil government should be abusive of the citizens under his power, but he has intended for the government to conduct himself and itself to the protection of the citizenry and to maintain law and order. When it does this, it is deserving of praise. When it does not, it's deserving of being terminated. Now, we need to be impressed, friend, with the strong statement that civil power, God calls it, a minister of God. The purpose for this ministry is the accomplishment of the will of God in the realm over which his minister has authority, an authority that's granted by the Lord. This ministry is for the accomplishment of that which is good. Once and for all, this ought to silence any advocacy of the civil government that it is evil of itself, or has come into existence because of evil. It came into existence because God designed it as his tool for the accomplishment of good that must attend the conduct of society. Without it, there would be nothing but anarchy and total chaos. And we have seen that raise its ugly head from time to time, do we not? Please take notice also that Paul says the power is the minister of God to thee for good. Now focus on the phrase to thee. What did Paul mean? Is the civil government God's tool only on a behalf of the Christian? Some seem to have thought mistakenly that that's the idea. Now, while admitting the necessity of civil rule, some deny that the Christian has any power to be involved in that civil government. And they think that the government is just for the benefit of the Christian. No, the government is the benefit for all mankind. The government is of benefit to the Christian not just because he's a Christian, but because he's a citizen of the country or the territory in which there is civil power. Now there is none that deny or doubt that we are to obey the rule of civil authority whether he's a Christian or not. It is reasonable to conclude the benefit of government is for everyone. God has ordained government for the sake of all society. The government is a minister of God for good to all men because their citizenship is in this earthly kingdom, not simply because he's a citizen in God's kingdom. To thee means to thee as citizens, not just to thee as Christians. Now, Christians are to obey the laws of the land as any other citizen, and we will receive benefit from the same government just as any other citizen. But you see, the Christian must obey because the government has the power and authority to enforce its laws. And more significantly, the Christian God said to obey the higher powers. Now, the civil power that has been ordained of God is given the power to enforce its laws. It even has the power of the sword, and that's an instrument of force. That is even an instrument of death. The civil government has the power to execute those who will violate certain laws. Capital punishment is no more a violation of God's law than the very existence of civil government itself. The existence of capital punishment has been God's rule, particularly in the murder of people. You kill another individual, God has ordained that civil government can execute that criminal and that murderer. There is no doubt that the government has the power of capital punishment if that government chooses to exercise that power. And sometimes, and this is a false idea we want to dispose of, there's the false idea that if one is a Christian, he can have no part whatsoever in civil government. Well, friend, to make a broad sweeping statement like that, I don't think people realize what they're actually saying. The function of government is proper. The function of government is to be a minister of God. And there are so many things that are involved in the government. Oh, but people say you can't be a policeman, you can't be a soldier. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that teaches that. The civil government is for the good of all mankind. And while we recognize that sometimes governments do violate the functions of God, God has given the government power to carry out its work, and it is a minister of God, and the Christian can be with God in that service. Before one jumps too far in condemning a Christian's participation in government, and you say you can't be a soldier, you can't be a policeman, well, what about being a school teacher, or a mail deliverer, or a water meter reader, or an engineer, or something else? You see, when you come along and begin to make man-made delineations as to what a Christian can and cannot do, you must remember that there were Christians in the military in New Testament times. There were Christians who served as treasurers of cities in New Testament times. And Christians can function with God in carrying out the duties and the purposes as God has for civil government. He does not violate the Christian principles when he is doing what God has ordained to be done. And so when men make laws of their own, they will find themselves condemning things that obviously are not wrong. There's nothing wrong with the person who brings you your mail, but he's a servant of the government. Where does it say that he can do that, but he can't be a soldier? Friend, there's nothing like that in the Bible. We need to respect government. It would be a better government if more Christians were involved in formulating the man-made laws that have to be made in order to conduct an orderly society. And after all, that is one of the functions and purposes of civil government. We will take up more in this study in our next lessons, beginning with verse 5 of Romans chapter 13. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.